Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. You'll start with me on verse number 10. We'll read it responsively. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's finish on verse 13 together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for this promise that you will not leave us without an ability to get out from underneath of a temptation, Lord, that we can bear it. Thank you for the word of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to listen in your power this morning. Help our preacher as he teaches us, that each life and each heart would be helped and strengthened. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The Bible says in verse 13, our text verse, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now watch this. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God reminds us in this passage of the Jews in the wilderness. If you go back to verse number 1, don't take time to read it right now, but God talks about, he wants us to remember, and he uses a term, I would not have you that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were passed under the cloud and passed through the sea. This is in reference to the Old Testament, how that the Jews, when they left Egypt, came to the Red Sea, and God parted the Red Sea for the Jews. And if you look through that passage a little bit later, it talks about the wilderness and all of their travels through those 40 years. Now, all of these Jews had to be expelled from Egypt. All of these Jews were forced to face the same situation. Now listen to this very carefully. All of them had to adjust to freedom and living on their own. They no longer had slave masters because they were no longer slaves. They were freed and they had to reform their own country. Now, God chose Moses as their leader. These Jews, you have to understand, were afraid. They wanted freedom, but now that they have it, they really don't know what to do with it. They have been slaves for over 500 years. Can you imagine having been in bondage for generation after generation after generation? Folks, 500 years is more than twice as long as America has been a nation. More time has elapsed almost since Columbus founded and found North America the first time. It's been more than 500 years since the settling of Jamestown, just barely, by 2 years. That means as long as, and I'll use this term a little loosely, Europeans have been on North American continent. By the way, there were people here when Columbus came here. We didn't found a land that had no people on it. But since we came from Europe to settle in North America, that's how long these Jews had been in bondage and slavery. Now listen to this very carefully. They did not know what to do with their freedom. They have seen God miraculously deliver them out of Egypt, and they knew it. You have to understand something. They watched God deliver them through the 10 plagues. You remember? They had the water turned to blood and the frogs and the lice and the flies and the murrain on the cattle and so on and so forth. All the way down through the Passover and the killing of the firstborn of all Egypt and Israel had they not obeyed. Finally, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh got mad enough and said, look, we're done. Get out of here. And God raised up Moses to lead them out. Now, listen to this very carefully. Isn't it amazing what God does with my voice when it's time to preach? I'm watching some of you go, what happened? It's not a put on. That's just God. God miraculously knows what lies ahead, but these Jews did not know. By the way, don't believe Hollywood. It wasn't just a few thousand. You can look it up in any historical record, and you'll see the number varies between 2 and 5 million. Generally, it's around 3 to 5 million is 3.5 to 5 million people is how many Jews left Egypt. Now, I have to give you just a titch of history to correct something. Quit believing Hollywood. Quit believing liberal, Muslim-influenced theologians. The Jews did not cross the Reed Sea. The Bible says they crossed the Red Sea. There is no such thing as the Reed Sea, Mr. Schofield. It's not a place of papyrus, and it's not the marshes of between the Sinai Peninsula or between the top of the Red Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. The Bible says that they crossed the Red Sea. It's amazing to me that they crossed a marshy area that God dried up. If that's the miracle, then the miracle is God closed it up on the Egyptians and they drowned in it. You say, why do they say that? Because they're wrong on their history. Now listen to this very carefully. They'll tell you that Ramses was the Pharaoh during the time of Moses, and they're wrong. They're wrong by about 200 years. Ramses was not the Pharaoh during the time of Moses. Moses was born and taken as part of the kingdom under a man named Thutmose, Thutmose. Ah, did you notice the last several letters of that name? Mose, Mose. He had a daughter named Thermuthis. She is the one who drew Moses out of the water in the river. And he was given an Egyptian name, and his name was Moses. Everybody doing okay? Now, here's what's interesting. We think in terms, and I'm going to use this term lightly here, we think with a Western mentality. I realize we're on the East Coast. I'm not talking about Western America. I'm talking about West concerning the world. You also think with a north of the equator mentality. You have to understand something about geography, topography, etc., etc. Often in the Bible, when we see the terms, he went up into something, we think up means north, so he went north. That's not what it means. Anybody that knows anything about Egyptian history, you have what is called Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt. Upper Egypt is south because that is where the mountains are, and that is at the mouth, the inception of the Nile River. As you go south in Egypt, you raise in elevation. When you are in Lower Egypt, you are at the Nile River Delta along the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if you turn to Exodus 14, Exodus 15, don't turn there right now, but you'll find out that when the Jews were expelled from Egypt, the Bible says they followed Moses and went up into Egypt. They were going south. By the way, Thutmose did not set up in the city of Ramses, his headquarters. He set up in a city called Memphis, which is in the northern end of the upper part of Egypt. If they left there and went up, guess what? They're going farther up, and they're parallel with the Red Sea at that point in time. They would have had to go down to go where the liberals and the Muslims tell you they crossed. They didn't go down, they went up. Everybody doing okay? All right, geography lesson over for the day. Now, the Muslims are trying to tell you, because the Quran says that they crossed on the eastern branch of the Red Sea or through the Reed Sea in a place called Aqaba, which is the eastern arm of the Red Sea, and that the Mount Sinai is actually in Saudi Arabia and not the Sinai Peninsula. I hate to disappoint you, they're wrong. The Quran is not the authority. The Word of God is the authority. Everybody doing okay? Say, are you afraid of that? Not a bit. Now, many of the Jews, after they left Egypt, they started following Moses, and they traveled several days, and they got to the bank of the Red Sea. They did not have food. They did not have water. They had an Egyptian army chasing from behind. They had the Red Sea ahead of them, and they were in a bad spot. Were they afraid? Yes. Do they have any idea what lies ahead? No. The situation was not ideal. But they need to realize that God had a plan, and he would give them what they needed as they needed it. Did you catch that? Listen to this statement very carefully. They did not see the whole picture. If they saw the whole picture, they would not have gone any farther. How many times in life, if you knew what lied ahead, you turn around and go back? You all know what I'm talking about. If you've raised children, you know what I'm talking about. That's why God gives you children when you're too young to have any sense. You get to my age, you think, why in the world did I ever do that? Now, wait a minute. The Jews saw no way of escape. God was about to open a path in the Red Sea for somewhere between 3.5 to 5 million people to cross over in about an 8-hour period. Now, I hate to tell you, they didn't line up 6 and 8 across and follow a path about the width of this auditorium. It is physically impossible to move that many people through a pathway that wide, plus all of their belongings, plus all of the cattle, plus all of the camels and the donkeys and the sheep and everything else that went with them. It is physically impossible. God opened up a path in the sea, probably a couple miles wide, and heaped up the waters on either side. You say, well, I just don't understand how that they could cross the Red Sea. It's so deep, there's no way they could have walked all the way down and walked all the way across and walked all the way up. Folks, if God's going to open the Red Sea, he's got a way provided. Every person that tells me there's no way they could have done that is the same person that don't believe that they crossed the Red Sea. Everybody doing all right? Now listen to me very carefully. They did not have water. They did not know there was a rock in Horeb. They did not have food, but they did not realize that God would provide manna for them through the night sky and through the dew of the morning. I want you to notice something. You read in verse number 11, I believe. The Bible says that all these things were for ensamples, examples for us. God used all of that as an example. God used the truth of the crossing of the Red Sea as an example for you and I. God used the opening of that sea and the Jews passing in as an example for you and I. It was not a one-time thing. Now listen to me. God still has a way of escape when you need it. You say, I just don't feel like I can go any farther. The battle's about to take over, and I can't go anywhere. What am I going to do? Guess what? The path in has a path out. Quit trying to be God and find your own path. Did you catch that? Quit trying to find your own way out of the situation and let God show you what to do with your life. If you need a path out, it means you followed the pathway in. This does not mean that you took the wrong path. Can I tell you something? With an Egyptian army behind them, a Red Sea ahead of them, no food, no water, the Jews did not take the wrong path. They were exactly where God wanted them to be. But wait a minute, they couldn't see what was coming next. Say, it's impossible. They've got the Egyptian army about to conquer them. They're on the beachhead of the Red Sea. There's nowhere to go. They turn back. They're going to die. They go ahead. They're going to swim a long way. What are they to do? They're to wait for God to show them what to do next. And when God shows you what to do, there's no doubt what to do. I love this. God said, listen to this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now watch this, this is the key. But will with the temptation make a way of escape. He said, you will not have a path open in the Red Sea till you have the Egyptian army behind you and nowhere else to go. God would use the impossibility to show you the way out. Folks, why is it we, by the way, this takes this health and wealth prosperity gospel and flushes it down the commode. Well, everything's going wrong, so God must be judging me. No, God wants to show you his way through the Red Sea. Well, everything's going all right, so everything's good. When everything's going all right, doesn't mean you're on the right path. Now listen to me very carefully here. God said he would, with the temptation, show you the way to escape. He didn't say he would show you the way to escape before you can't take it. He said, I'm going to push you right to the edge. You know, God does not give you grace until you need it. God does not give you grace until you need it. Can I tell you something? Waiting for the storm to come is worse than the storm. Waiting for the news, whether it's cancer or not, is worse than dealing with the result. I hate saying it this way, but anticipating tragedy, anticipating death, is worse than dealing with it. Can I tell you why? Because God gives you grace when you need it. He doesn't give you grace while you're waiting. God doesn't give you grace in the anticipation of. He gives it to you as you need it. You know, you're not supposed to take medicine just because it tastes good. You know, there's a reason they make medicines taste bad. Say why? So people don't take them too much. I've had this nasty junk going around. I told Brother Gus this morning. This is funny. I don't take a lot of medicines, but I'm not afraid of them. But when I get like this, NyQuil seems to be about the only thing that does something for me. Now, you might be mad at your preacher. They've taken all the alcohol out of it. I'm okay. I didn't drink too much of it. But I told Brother Gus, I'm not sure the NyQuil makes you feel any better, but it does put you in a state of mind you don't care how you feel. Now, wait a minute. My daughter watches me drink that stuff and she goes, ooh, I don't know how you do that. When you feel bad enough, you don't care how it tastes, amen? Just get it down the hatch. Now, wait a minute. Don't get disillusioned with God that you can't see your way out. Don't get discouraged that you can't find the pathway out on your own. God is big enough to clear a path for you in any situation. You may have the Red Sea lying ahead of you and the Egyptian army behind, but God has a way of escape. Say, oh, it's impossible, preacher. There's no way. Yes, there is. God can open the Red Sea. I want you to look at this just a little closer with me this morning. I'm about to have a spell. Number one, you will not have to look for God's pathway out. I hear this so much, Brother Smith, I'm about to vomit. I'm just having a hard time finding God's will for my life. Brother Jim, I have found in my life, I never have to wonder what God's will is for my life. Brother Bob, when God opens the Red Sea, I wonder how many of those Jews were saying, I wonder if this is it. Some of them were looking around the corner to find the trail through the wilderness. Well, I wonder if this is, hey, over here, looky here. Folks, when God shows you the way, there will be no doubt it is His will. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to go do it on your own. He will open the pathway for you. You know what? The Jews began to even complain before it was opened. Oh, Moses, why did you bring us out here in the wilderness to die? We could have been back there with the leeks and the onions and the watermelons in slavery. At least we would have had something to do. They were willing to settle for the past and go through the pathway God made available for them. I love this part of the story. I'm about to have a spell right now. When they came up to the Red Sea, the Egyptian army said, uh-oh. Pharaoh said, what did I do? We just let the entire workforce of our country loose. Now we're going to have to work. Would to God America would figure this out. He sent them after the Jews. Watch this. When the Jews got as far as they could go, the Bible says there was a pillar of fire that came down that night and settled between the camp of the Jews and the Egyptian army. But I want you to see what happened here. According to the book of Exodus, the Bible says the Jewish side, it was light and it was warm, showing them the way. Do you know what was on the other side of that light? Total darkness. The Bible says that it was so dark that the Egyptian army, their light would not penetrate it, and they were scared to death to go any farther. The light of God is darkness to the world. God's protective light was darkness to the lost world. Can I tell you something? God's going to buy you the time you need. Oh, they're so close, I can hear them. But God will give you a way out. Well, I just don't see. The bill is due tomorrow, preacher, and I don't know how God's going to do it. But may I tell you, there is a way out. My son with his car situation, we were laughing, carrying on. I said, son, I'll do everything I can. We'll figure it out. You know, when you're 22 years old and you don't have a credit card because his dad counseled him not to have one, you can't rent a car. He said, what am I going to do? I said, we'll figure it out when we get there. I said, your brother can drive you to the airport. If he's not working, we'll get you to the airport. We'll figure out what to do because you got transportation while you're down there for the first week. We'll figure out what to do when you go back to Knoxville. He said, but I said, God will provide a way. I was rewriting this outline while I was talking to him. I said, son, God's going to provide it. I'm telling you. Couple hours later, here come the call. Now, I about had a spell. I had to take a lap around the building. Can I tell you why? He gave it to him when he needed it most. When he needed it most. He had 12 sales this week. He was top salesman in the region. He's a rookie. And the bosses were saying, Bush, you didn't have a car. He and I were talking at 8 o'clock or 8:15 Friday morning. He didn't go to work till about noon. He said, "Hang on, Dad, I'll call you back. I got a call from work. Got a call, come back." He said, "Just made a $400 sale, Dad. They called me." He said, "I haven't been to work yet. Got a sale already, amen." Can I tell you something? That's how God works. He was leaving work to be gone for a couple weeks for his wedding and honeymoon and things. And the boss said, "Bush, how does this happen?" He said, "I got one word for it." His boss said, "What?" He said, "God." He said, "Bush, you keep talking about it." He said, "Yeah, because you still don't believe it. God." He said, "I don't say anything different than anybody else in this office. You've been with me. You've listened to me. You've watched me. I do exactly what you've told me to do, and it works because it's God, not me." That's why he got Rookie of the Region awarded this week to him. Not because he's a good kid. He's a knothead like his father. Trust me, he doesn't deserve that part of it. But may I say something? When you trust God and you do what God says, God will reward you for it, even when you don't see the pathway out. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me say this, and please listen to this very carefully. You will not have to go looking for God's plan. He makes it very obvious. Do you know that I did not have to go looking for what to do a couple years ago? God made it very clear Grace Baptist Church was supposed to start. I didn't go looking for it. He opened up the Red Sea. Matter of fact, I think he closed it down on top of me for a while there. Folks, you don't have to go looking. God will show you the way. You know, the will of God and the way of God is not some spooky, unknown, hidden pathway. You don't need some potentate standing up saying, "Well, I've got to show you the hidden things of the Word of God." Why would God want to hide His will from you? If He wants you to obey, why would He hide it from you? When I was raising my children, I didn't hide from them what I wanted them to do and expect them to do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why would God want to hide things from His children and say, "Find my will, find my will"? No, He'll make it very obvious. God's path will be wide, it will be dry in a place that is impossible. By the way, listen to this. This is where I had my spell. Did you know that the enemy followed them down the path of God's will? And watch this, Brother Smith. Success to the child of God became destruction to the enemy. When you start succeeding down the path of the will of God, He's going to close it back on top of your enemy and take care of him for you. You won't have to do a thing. But I wonder what would have happened to those Jews had they not walked down that pathway. Those Jews that did not obey at Passover, I wonder what would have happened to them. I don't wonder, because God tells us what would have happened. The same thing. You know, you don't have to attack your enemy. Do you know the best way to whip your enemy? Walk the pathway God leads for you. And guess what? Your success will destroy your enemy for you. That's why God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." You don't have to go after someone attacking you. You don't have to go after someone who is your enemy. You just do God's will and God will take care of the rest. Number two. Number one, you will not have to look for God's path. Number two, the length of the path out is determined by your obedience in. Did you hear that? The length of the pathway out will be determined by your obedience on your pathway into needing it. Listen to this statement. Those Jews that did not obey at Passover had the firstborn die just like the Egyptians. So they had to obey about Passover before they could leave Egypt. Guess what? Those that were willing to follow Moses got led out of Egypt. Those that were refused, say, how do you know somebody refused? I'm sure with millions of people, somebody refused to follow. I've been around enough Baptists to know that. Watch this. When they got to the Red Sea, I wonder how many of them, I'm sure not many, if any, but I wonder if some of them went Shazam. Let's see if we can go back on that thing. Here comes the army. I'm afraid I'm going to go back to where I came from. I'm going to turn myself in. Guess what? When the water came over, they went glub, glub with the rest of them. You see, they had to obey along the pathway so that their way out was shorter and easier. Listen to this. Often, our obedience determines the length and the clarity of the road out. Do you know why some of you wander around in the wilderness? Because you're not willing to obey. Say, how do you know that? They obeyed at Passover. They obeyed following Moses. They obeyed at the Red Sea. But what happened at Kadesh Barnea? When they got to Kadesh Barnea, they said, look, we're about to go into the promised land. Let's send 12 spies and spy the land. God said, I already gave it to you. What do you need to spy it for? But go ahead. 10 were bad and 2 were good. 10 came back, said the land is beautiful, but the giants are big. We can't take it. Joshua and Caleb said, doesn't matter how big they are, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Let's go get them, boys. They believed 10 over 2, and they did not go in at Kadesh Barnea. And it took them 40 more years to get there. I want you to notice something. When God took them out of Egypt, he said, I will not take thee the way of the Philistines. I love this. God's timing is always so amazing to me. Do you know where the land of the Philistines is? It is a place called Gaza. Have you seen it in the news in the last few days? Israel is bombing Gaza Strip, where the Palestinians are, the Muslims. Can I tell you why? They're still fighting with the Philistines. God said, I'll take you around them because those are your enemy, and I'll move you around them because they're never going to quit being a pain in your side. He said, I'll help you avoid the conflict if you'll just follow me. Now listen to me. They were willing to cross the Red Sea, but they were afraid of the Jordan River. They were willing to cross the Red Sea, but they were afraid of a few giants. Don't you think a God that could get them through 10 plagues, expel them from 500 years of slavery, open up the Red Sea, give them water from a rock to take care of 3.5 to 5 million people and all their belongings, all their cattle, everything, provide manna on the ground every day as they needed. Don't you think a God that could do all that could take care of the Canaan land for him too? So, number one, you'll not have to look for God's path. Number two, the length of the path out is determined by your obedience while you're on your pathway. And number three, here we go. As the old preacher used to say, hold my mule while I shout. Number three, God will continue to help even if you choose a longer path. God will continue to help you even if you choose a longer path. Did God stop providing water for them when they went back at Kadesh Barnea? No, he did not. Did he stop providing manna every day on their journey around the wilderness for 40 years? No, he did not. My friend, just because God's giving your provision doesn't mean you took the path he wanted. Listen to this statement very carefully here. God still took care of their needs by the pillar of cloud by day for air conditioning and the pillar of fire by night for heat. But God had a closer pathway chosen for them that they did not take. God had a closer pathway that he made obvious for them that they were afraid of. Hello. It wasn't the pathway they wanted to take. Folks, you need to settle down, realize where you are, lock in tight, keep serving God. He'll move you in a time. He'll show you what the next move is. You just settle in, keep doing right. The where is not the issue, just keep doing the what. Listen very carefully. They had enough faith to cross the Red Sea, even though they were complaining. It amazes me. They got through the 10 plagues. They got through Passover. They got out of Egypt. They got across the Red Sea. You know what the first thing they did when they got to the other side and the Egyptian army was washed up on the other shore? We're thirsty. We don't have any water. You shouldn't have brought us out here. You brought us out here to die. They weren't thankful for what God did. They were looking at what they wanted right then. God said, all right, Moses, take your rod, smite the rock here at Horeb. By the way, that rock was a picture of Jesus, according to John chapter 3. And that rock that followed them was Jesus. Provided water for 40 years out of a rock for 3.5 to 5 million people. Enough water came out of that rock in Horeb every day that fills about 10 to 12 hours of what falls over Niagara Falls every day. Now that's a lot of water. Don't you think a God that could do that could take care of water and food? Don't you think after they saw all those things that God says when they get to Kadesh Barnea, just keep on going, I'll take care of it for you. No. They had enough to face the fear here, but they weren't going to face it any longer. They were tired of their own fear. They wanted to be comfortable. So God said, I'll let you be comfortable and I'll lead you, but in 40 years, you're going to die and you're not going in. I'll let your children go in. Do you know where they crossed to go back into Canaan land 40 years later? Kadesh Barnea. You don't choose to follow his path, he'll take care of you on the path you choose. Listen to this, but it's going to be long, exhausting, and many of you will lose the opportunity to do it the way God wanted you to do it in the first place. I was talking to one of my children recently, and I said, Dad's made a lot of mistakes in his life. Messed up probably more than I've succeeded. But I've done one thing right. I've been in the will of God every day that you've been alive. Every day. Every day. My wife and I have just passed 25 years of marriage. We were talking while we were together and I said, you know, honey, God's blessed us. We've been in his will every day for 25 years. I didn't tell you all those days were easy. Shoot. I love preaching. I love the ministry. I think I understand it a little bit. But don't give me something mechanical. I have a mechanical aptitude of negative 20. I'm not kidding. I had to replace a kitchen faucet yesterday. You know, no tools required, idiots. It's a good thing because my boys have taken all my tools. What should have taken 10 minutes took me almost an hour. Say, did you cuss? If my wife would have wrote it down, I'd have signed it. Oh, my soul. Something so simple. Yeah, it looks simple till you got to get under there and do it. I thought I had it all ready. Thought I had all the water off. and I start undoing the hot water thing, and it's... I'm turning on that thing, and it's still going down in my face. I'm turning that thing, and I try the water, and it's still on. I had to get a pair of pliers and turn the hot water supply off. I turned every knob I could turn. I was mad. Then I finally got that thing off. You know, I had let so much water go, it was hot. Then I finally get that water line off, and I pull it down in my face again. That was not good. Getting a Methodist baptism under a sink is not the way to go. Knew I hated that. Then I got everything undone but one thing, and I couldn't get up there to get it. My boys have taken every crescent wrench I had. I couldn't find a 5/8 wrench anywhere. I've got a pair of pliers trying to get a bolt off underneath this sink. You got about that much room between the wall and where you got to get to. And I'm there. And my wife says, "Do you need anything?" "Shut up. That's what I need." I didn't say it. I was thinking it. Because I didn't say anything, she didn't say anything else. Say, "What did you need?" Something I didn't have. Intelligence. I almost said, "Call my dad." No, I'm going to conquer this thing. And I did. I got the stupid thing back on, got it together. And it's got one of these new, it's almost like a quick connect for the hose that goes to it. I got to put it on the hose there. I thought, man, I'm got that thing on there. I'm going to push that thing up there. We're going to have water. I'm pushing and 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 pushing, and it won't go. I'm looking, and, you know, my glasses got so many water spots on them, I couldn't even see if I was human yet. And, you know, and then you got bifocals on top of it, so you got your head like this trying to look up there, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you feel my pain? And it's dark, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Where that thing's hooking on, it's smooth. It shouldn't be smooth. It's got to have... I reach up there, and I start twisting. They had a paper roll on that thing to cover it up. Idiots. I pulled that off, went... I probably wasted 5 minutes trying to push that stupid thing on a piece of paper, and all I had to do was pull it off. Say, "Did you read the instructions?" "That's for my wife to do, not for me." Let me give you one illustration for the whole sermon, and let me help you. I enjoy hunting. I do. I love to hunt. I don't care what it is, I like to hunt it. Now, I'm not real excited about bear hunting, not because I'm afraid of it. I just don't like bear meat. I'd do it if I had the chance. I just not real excited about it, not something I'd spend a lot of money on, just because I don't enjoy bear meat. Say, "But you shoot groundhogs." "Yeah, but you don't eat those things, all right? Those are for target practice and fox bait, amen?" Now, wait a minute. I've been in a lot of thick woods. Been in a lot of tight spots. Amen, Brother Bob? Man, every once in a while I'll go up to Brother Bob's property out in the middle of God's country. But it's thick. Oh, is it thick. And here's what's fun. I enjoy bow hunting. My boys, my dad, they laugh at me. I am so colorblind, I cannot see a blood trail. I'm not kidding. That's dangerous for a bow hunter when you can't follow a blood trail. But 99 times out of 100, I can find a deer. Say why? I followed the trail that deer went on, and I've learned how to look for drag marks and hoof marks and different things that are a little out of character, because my son will say, "There's the blood." I said, "Where?" He's picking up leaves right here. I said, "Where? Put your finger on it there, right there. Oh, that's what it looked like." I can't see it. You know, red and brown together, I can't, you know, I can see a rusted spot on a leaf and there's blood. "No, Dad, that's not blood." "Yeah, it is." "No, it's not." Now, wait a minute. I've been deep enough in the woods. You can look up, and most of you ladies would know what I'm talking about. Your husband, if he hunts at all, say, "Man, look at that deer trail." And you're thinking, "I don't see nothing." Say why? Because you're looking way out. You don't see a deer trail that goes all the way through the woods. You can only see a couple feet at a time. Can I tell you something? You just start following that trail, God has for you. Quit looking out here to see where it ends up. You just start doing this. And all of a sudden, it'll open up. I shot a deer a couple years ago. One of my boys was with me. He said, "Come on, boy, we're going to track him." Couldn't find any blood. He said, "Dad, you didn't hit it." I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "No, you didn't." I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "I promise you." I said, "It's down here." We started following that trail, Brother Matt. I said, "See that drag mark?" He said, "But there's no blood." I said, "Shut up. See that drag mark?" I said, "Let's keep going." I said, "It went this way." Went a little farther. I said, "See that one?" He said, "Dad, where's this trail go?" I said, "I don't know, but we're going to follow it." Came to a fork. I said, "You go down that one. I'm going to go down this one a little ways." I turned, went this way. I didn't walk any farther than I did from here to Brother Gus. He was about the same distance going that way. I said, "Got it. Come on over here." He said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "I just know. I shot one last year. My dad and I was out at Bob's." I love hunting out there till you get one. Because they always run down in this bottom of this valley. And Bob will tell you, it's about 320 feet straight up like this. And I'm hunting up here. Where do they go when they get hit? All the way to the bottom. I'm walking down the side of this mountain, finding marks. I can't see a drop of blood. My dad said, "You didn't get it." I said, "Yes, I did." When we found it, he said, "Man, I wish you wouldn't have got it. Because we got to drag this thing out." It was an hour and a half to get that deer out of there, I'm telling you. We took the towpath out through the bottom. We didn't even drag it up the hill. Say, "How'd you find it?" I just kept following the path a little at a time. Some of you expect God to open up the Red Sea, but you didn't realize there was still a long way to go after the Red Sea. Some of you are looking for the end of the trail. God doesn't reveal the whole trail. He just takes it a couple steps at a time. Quit looking for where the trail ends. You say, "Preacher, where's the will of God going to end on your trail?" Folks, 25 years ago, if somebody would have said, "I'd be pastoring Grace Baptist Church right now," I'd have laughed in their face and told them they're stupid. Guess what? I'm still on the trail doing exactly what God wants. I've followed the path. There's been times God's closed the path over my enemy so I could keep going. There's been times I've faced the Red Sea. He's parted it. I've stepped through. He closed it back up. Say, "What are you doing?" I'm just following that trail. I'm just a couple steps at a time. Say, "Where are you going to be 10 years from now?" Don't know. Hopefully heaven. Not by death, but by rapture. Amen. But if not, say, "What are you going to be doing?" I'm just watching the trail a little bit at a time. Just following it a little at a time. Can I tell you something? Quit trying to find the end of the trail. Have fun following it. Quit trying to find the end of it. Some of you think the end of the trail is where the pot of gold and the end of the rainbow is, but the journey is the pot of gold. Quit trying to look for the end. Just enjoy the journey and watch God provide as you go. The pathway in has a pathway out. But you don't get the pathway out till you followed the pathway in. But I got a Red Sea, and I got an Egyptian army. Yeah, and God will with that temptation make a way to escape. Hey, we're all sinners. We all deserve hell. That's worse than any Red Sea. Can I tell you something? God made with the temptation of us dying and going to hell a way of escape. And that way of escape was by trusting Jesus Christ to take you to heaven. And the moment you do it, your journey was taken care of. He put you on a new path. And guess what? You can't get off that path. Matter of fact, the moment that you stepped across onto that path, he closed that pathway up to the devil and he can never get to you. What a beautiful picture of what salvation's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, "Brother Bush, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not embarrass you, but you say, 'I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I died.' Would you raise your hand?" God bless you. You can put your hands down. who'd say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I'll not send somebody to you. I'll not make it known to anybody else." But who would say, "Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not really sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand?" All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, I've needed the Red Sea to part, but I've been trying to go back to Egypt. Been complaining about it. There's some things along the pathway I didn't see clearly. And I just need to get back on the pathway and quit looking too far ahead. There's something in that sermon that helped me today, preacher. Would you raise your hand?" Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Some of you, you needed that sermon. You need it. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. If you need to come to this altar and use it, you may. But I wonder, would you quit looking too far? Would you quit complaining about the pathway? Would you quit complaining about the curves and not being able to see the end and just learn to enjoy it and watch God provide the way in the wilderness for you?